Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watt, the dynamic duo of deplorables who come to you each and every week to tell you about what's happening, to disseminate truth, justice, and the American way to the American people. And here we are on a blustery Monday, 2 days after the lightning struck at East Lake, just a few miles from where I live, and caused havoc for six different people at the golf tournament, the FedEx Cup. At any rate, Richard, how are you today?
Excellent. Beautiful day up here in New England. Feels like fall, but our quarterback is still up and rolling. Sorry, Indianapolis, but, you know, things happen in this life, don't they?
Yes, they do. And just to talk about that for a second, I remember the extraordinary hype that was around, oh, Andrew Luck is coming in 2000, you know, picked in 2012 and beginning in 2013. And from that time forward, it was going to be Indianapolis. And, you know, the Patriots had had their day. Good for them. They'd won three Super Bowls by then. And at least I think that's what it was, three Super Bowls. But it was Indy's time, and they were going to win. Three or four, because Andrew Luck was just that good. And now, in 2019, six Super Bowl wins for the Patriots. Nada. 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 For Indianapolis.
I guess I feel a little bad for him that, you know, I guess I'd be a little upset, too, if it was like 2 weeks before the beginning of the season and he quits. But now the Patriots' backup quarterback, I'm trying to think of his name right now, is going to be their starting quarterback. I can't think of it right now, but he was their backup last year and he's supposed to be their quarterback this year now, I guess.
Well, you know, Indianapolis is, you know, when Peyton Manning was there, he was, you know, Indy was definitely our nemesis.
Nemesis. Yeah,
then I guess really, you know, then it was Seattle for a while. You know, it was Denver for a while. I don't know who I would consider to, I guess Pittsburgh, but who knows. Any rate, thank God we have this to talk about now. There are no more Saturdays left until the end of the year without college football, and that pleases me to no end. All right, now let's get rolling and get to business. In the G7, the talk was about China. Trump is holding tight. You know, he called Xi the enemy of the American people 4 days ago, and today he referred to him as, you know, as a good friend and good man. They asked Trump, said, what gives? 4 days ago, three, 4 days ago, you know, he was an enemy. Now he's, he's a good guy again. What, you know, are you schizophrenic? And Trump just looked at him and said, this is the way I negotiate. It's the way I've always negotiated. Yeah. Here's the deal, Dick. They cannot deal with him for who he is. And he is, they keep wanting to say, oh, you know, he's not a good negotiator. He can't do this. He can't do that. That's just not true. He's terrific at this stuff, and but they won't give him credit for it. Now, if I were China, I think I would be saying, okay, are we – this? We'll play devil's advocate here for just a little bit and say, you know, can we do anything to help get a Democrat elected? Because that's what we want. Because if we can get a Democrat, we can get a trade deal with them that will allow us to steal their American intellectual property, that will allow us to have deficits of $500 billion a year, and we can continue to rape and fleece the American people. Shake that dog so she doesn't snore.
I'm trying to.
And here we are. We've got people. I was looking at the demographics, and we have people from Pakistan that listen. We have people from Norway that listen. People from South Africa, India, Israel. And they all get to hear our doors, your dog snore in New England. But that's
obviously she thinks
Canada.
We're boring.
Well,
that dog thinks we're boring. I guess sometimes maybe we are. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe. I agree with that. At any rate, Trump's not going to let this happen. And this the trade imbalance is so great that having this trade war with them was needed. Now, to his credit, and rarely can we say that there is anything to his credit, Chuck Schumer has stood with Trump on this and say, you know, somebody need, you know, Trump's right on this. He needed to do it. And I mean, they barely will give him anything positive, but on this, Schumer has been a stand-up guy, and I'm going to say that because it's, you know, it's important whenever there is something worthwhile to say about a Democrat in Congress. You know, we ought to at least say it just out of fairness, because it, I mean, it's so hard. We've had so many things for which they have been reprehensible. But on this one,
don't you think he's smart enough, Schumer, to realize that Trump's going to do something big here with China? There's something's going to happen, and it's going to be very favorable. And in the end, he can say, see, I told you he was right, and so was I. So he gets a positive out of it.
No. I do not believe that even for one second. I think that they're that the you remember how opposed we were to Barack Obama and everything that he was doing. The people that loathe Trump are even more angry about who he is and what he does than we were about Obama, even though what Trump is doing is to the betterment of the American people, and what Obama did certainly was not. There's so many million Americans now that believe we should not be successful, who are ashamed of being Americans, who are ashamed of being white people. What is the name of the woman that's running for president? She's kind of cute. Not Tulsi Gabbard, but the other one who's just
Williamson.
Really kind of, huh?
Williamson?
Yeah.
The one that's Love? Love, yeah.
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 She has led people in prayers to the universe, not to Almighty God, but to the universe, because the universe, you know, that, you know, all matter is God to them. Telling people, repeat after me, I apologize for being white. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, but why in the world would someone apologize for being white? Why would somebody apologize for being black? You can't help who you are. There's nothing abnormal about being white, black, Asian, even Pocahontas Indian. There's nothing abnormal about any of that. People are people, and they are who they are, and they were created in the image of God. That's all you have to consider. There's nothing wrong with and instead of just calling us racist now, which we're not, we are white supremacists. Dick, I have been a conservative my entire adult life. And I've met, I mean, who knows how many people I've met. I do not believe I have ever met one white supremacist. Not one.
I don't think I have either.
And what would you do if you met a white supremacist? I mean, I know what I would do. I would say, excuse me, and I would leave.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in engaging in a conversation with somebody who's filled with hate and vengeance and animosity. And to equate those kinds of people with people like you and me and the people who listen to our show, it's not only unfair and unkind, but it's even hard to fathom.
So does that make us deplorably white? Is that what we are now?
Irredeemably. That's where the deplorable and irredeemable. That's where the irredeemable part would come in, I believe. And at the same time, you know, I live in Atlanta. Atlanta's a black city. The government, everybody is black. Most of the policemen, it's just a very solid city. But you know, we're predominantly black. By and large, people get along here really well and have, you know, forever. Well, I say forever. I mean, I certainly don't know, you know, what things were like 100 years ago, and I'm sure that wasn't true. But, I mean, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010, 2020, this whole time frame, it's been pretty good. Martin Luther King is a revered figure in Atlanta by black and white people, everybody. There just isn't. And making people hate each other so that you can win a certain percentage of the vote at the expense of creating hatred is mind-boggling to me. I don't get it. I don't see how anybody can do these kinds of things. Do you?
No. But, is it just me? Has this only been since Obama was president, though, that the whole thing? I mean, I think it really started then, didn't it? Didn't it start
the police
stupidly?
Now, you know, what they have done is take the grievance industry, which is, you know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and oh, this is bad, this is terrible, da 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 da, and they have put it on steroids, making people feel like they are. Entitled, wronged,
yeah,
left out, when the exact opposite is true. In continuing with the example of Atlanta, if you are a sharp black man or black woman, you can write your own ticket down here. And people do. I mean, you know, they're very successful. And it isn't just rap artists, and although there are a bunch of them, and athletes, and there are a bunch of them down here. Both, you know, I mean, people in business, doctors, the orthopedic surgeon that I went to a couple of months ago, he was a black guy, and he was as sharp as a tack. And, you know, this is unnecessary. This is silly. And why take what is being done well and turn around and make something ugly and hateful out of it? Why would you do that? For what purpose? For what end? Political power. Can get you elected. They believe. On the other hand, what are we saying? We are saying America continues to be the land of opportunity. You, if you want to, can make whatever you want out of yourself, and you can find success, happiness, fulfillment beyond your wildest dreams in the United States of America, but you got to work for it.
Yeah.
That's the message that has made America great in the past, and that Trump put together with Make America Great Again by doing exactly that. And look at, he's doing it himself. And he wasn't a politician, never ran for office. They say he's stupid. He's so stupid, he started with $1 million or a couple million and ended up with $10 billion. That's not just a little bit more. That's dramatic growth. Because he knew what he was doing, ran for office once and won the presidency from a crook. Good for him. If Trump is not the epitome of the American dream, I don't know what is. How, I mean, even if you loathe Donald Trump, and millions do, don't you think that you should say, you know what, let's take Barack Obama as far as the American dream. The guy was born in Africa, in the Congo, for, you know, truthfully, grew up, Barry Sotero, gamed the system, getting financial aid because he was a foreign student, then said he was born in the United States, won the presidency, first black guy ever to do anything. If he's not the epitome of success, I don't know what is. And how did he do it? You know, he worked hard, you know, at winning that election. Thank God he was lazy and didn't get much done other than to create the deep state. You know, he certainly didn't do his job where the federal judiciary was concerned. He left 135 vacancies. And those vacancies, Trump's filled all of them, and or is in the process of doing that with conservatives. The entire judicial system, by the time Trump is finished, will be transformed, and our Ginsburg, RBG, with cancer the second time on her pancreas. I don't care what you say. That's something that is not. You can't do that. It you know that will.
Not at her age too.
Yeah. She's, she's done for, in my estimation.
Yeah.
I believe that she's, she's desperately trying to hold on in hopes that Trump will lose. And regardless, just based on her health, her very person makes her a campaign issue. Elect me and you'll get someone else like Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And on the left, they'll be saying, if we don't get rid of Trump, we're going to get another Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. So, this is going to be a polarizing issue. And, my hope is that she retires in the next month or two, max, so that Trump
she won't
find somebody
she won't,
for 2020.
She won't. Her staff will try and keep her afloat, if you ask me. I want to ask you a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
2008, Barack Obama was elected president of the United States after being a community organizer.
Right.
He made $400,000. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And senator for a couple of years or so?
Yeah.
As president, he made $400,000 a year and continues to make that to this day. How is it, though, now that was 11 years ago, how is it that he just bought on Martha's Vineyard? I believe it was Tom Werner's house, but I'm not sure. It was one of the Red Sox, whatever. On Martha's Vineyard for $15 million. I don't think people will say, well, he made money on his book deal. He did not make $20 million on his book deal. I'm sorry.
Well, so
where did the money come from?
Are they financing the house or did they pay? I mean, they didn't pay cash for it, did they?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, I don't. I'm sure that they didn't. But I mean,
how could they qualify for a loan?
What's 20% down is what, $3 million? I don't know. It doesn't. It just doesn't ring well for me. Because if you can come up with $1.5 billion of current, not American currency, to give to Iran, I guess you could probably come up with $20 million or so for yourself.
Well, I don't know that happened or anything like that, but I think an interesting question is this. He's all about the climate change and that the glaciers are melting, therefore the sea is going to rise, and he's buying oceanfront property. Obviously, he doesn't believe that bull or he would not have done so. He would have fought something in the mountains.
Unless he has a moat that he needs to fill.
Well, you know, if all of these people are saying that, you know, that the oceans are going to rise, and that, you know, cities like New Orleans, Jacksonville, Charleston, Baltimore, Washington, New York, Boston are all going to be underwater. Well, before any of those go, Martha's Vineyard will go. Because,
yeah.
I mean, he is literally on the shore. So it just isn't true.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. They know it's nonsense. They've exploited people because of it. And, you know, it's it just is their way of manipulating people for power again. And, you know, they say, well, you don't believe in science if you disagree with that. While at the same time saying there are dozens of genders. There's male and female and then this, that, and the other, which is absolutely scientifically nonsense. But they do it. What's going on? It's what's happening. Not terribly good. We got a caller. Let's take it real quick here. This is Jack Watts. You're on the line. The caller dropped. Had just a little bit of trepidation about being on worldwide radio. Or what's up? Starring Jack and Dick Watts. Any rate. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I didn't know we were worldwide. Now I'm nervous.
Well, you remember we had that person call from, was it Pakistan?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
6 months ago. I think it was Pakistan the guy called from, and you know, or India, one of the two.
Yeah.
Any rate, here we,
and
here
another,
we
guy
are,
from
Dick,
Baltimore.
Got,
another guy from Baltimore.
Well, he calls all. Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
He calls all the time. Good,
yeah.
Charlie, good old guy. All right, listen. We're almost out of time, and sports is on our mind because it's just starting. How strong are the Patriots going to be this year?
Well, I was just surprising that you mentioned this, but earlier I was on ESPN, I guess, and they were showing the power rankings for this year, and the Patriots were listed as number one, and the Rams were number two. Now, does that have anything to do with last year's Super Bowl? Maybe, but I always thought it was how they were going to end up looking this year, not based off of last year. So, they lost Gronk, but Josh Gordon's coming back. They've got some great receivers out there. They're going to be just fine, especially the competition in this thing at Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami. Are suspect, to say the least.
Well, you know, it has really helped that the Patriots are in the weakest division of the NFL and have been for a long time. You know, the Jets are terrible, so is Miami and Buffalo, all three. So, but, you know, the Patriots have clearly been the number one team in the NFL, you know, really this entire millennium.
Yep.
Any rate, we are out of time. So let me just say, you know, thank you. This is, good times. I'm very proud of the effort that President Trump put forward at the G7. And let me just say thank you to him for standing up for the American people. Thank God he does that. God bless y'all. And God bless the United States of America. We'll talk to you all again next week. Bye-bye.